from Midget Man Studios in Burbank, California, you're listening to the FU Sports Talk Podcast featuring Mike Flynn and Mike Durand. Email the show at FUPodcast@gmail.com and on Twitter at FUPodcast.
We are here on the FU Sports Talk Podcast. I'm Mike Flynn.
Mike Durand.
And we are here, but if you...
Not they, meaning us. I mean they, meaning the Red Sox.
The Red Sox are going to be three back with a good weekend
three
against the
half.
Yankees.
Well, they're four out now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Three back, 2-1 makes it three
I'm
back.
I'm back in.
Yes, you are. You know who's not back in? This is the... I had 16 openings, of course.
Okay. Sorry, I ruined it. We'll start again.
So the it was going to be...
Ready? Here we go. No. Okay, never mind.
We are here on the FU Sports Talk Podcast, the... If you live in New York, the highlight of your basketball offseason is the Knicks have signed Aaron Aflalo to a very reasonable contract.
Yeah.
And if you live in L.A., the highlight of your offseason is we're getting a second interview with LaMarcus Aldridge. Therefore, you got nothing to do next winter, folks. Go out, make a family, have some fun, and do something productive with your life.
I got to tell you, the NBA free agency thing,
awesome.
Gripping.
Yes.
I mean, it was gripping, the entire thing.
They are turning into the NFL as we speak.
Yeah?
Year round.
Yeah.
Can't knock it. I had a good time.
David Lee!
How about, was there any question?
No, there was absolutely zero doubt. And getting him for... Wallace's expiring contract?
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah, I know you will. I know.
He's not an all-star anymore.
See, so the David Lee thing perked you up a little bit.
He was an all-star in Boston, wasn't he?
You were not so up on the Celtics after Drummond went to Milwaukee.
No, I'm still way down. How did you know that? Did you follow me on Twitter?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I might have actually. I might have hit you up and seen it on Twitter.
Okay. Yeah, I don't understand how they weren't players for Monroe. How is Milwaukee a better destination than Boston with a top five coach in the league?
You got to look at the rosters, and if you take out, maybe a Jabari Parker, the rosters are pretty much even.
Greek Freak.
That's just it, Greek Freak. Okay, I'll give you, so take out Greek Freak, the rosters are even. After that, you don't know what you're getting out of Jabari Parker.
Yeah, agree.
But they gave him the max that he could earn from a team that he wasn't already playing for.
Burying the lead here. So what's your take on the DeAndre thing? I mean, why bury it?
All right. What's the take? The take is...
Who's the biggest loser? Is it the Clippers for looking so inane?
Yes.
The Mavs?
Right.
The NBA for this moratorium period that caused it? I mean, that's the easy answer, right?
The easy answer is it's Doc and Doc alone because Ballmer's a new owner, so you can't put this on him. He doesn't really know what he's doing. It's his first free agent period to go out and try and take care of this, but it's all on Doc for that reason and that reason alone. He's the GM. He's the head coach. He's the one that made the decision of how we will handle DeAndre in free agency.
But he's also the guy that just bunted in the middle of a no-hitter.
Yes.
I mean, he broke one of if not the biggest unbroken rule in the NBA. He went after someone else that has committed verbally to someone else during this moratorium period.
I wanted to go there especially. Screw the moratorium. You know what? And this is what we talked about real quick when
but he just ruined it for everybody.
No, this is what, sort of. This is what we talked about during the drafts. What does a reporter get out of saying what team is going to draft who 2 minutes before it's announced on TV? What does the reporter actually get out of it? What does the team get out of leaking the information to the reporter?
The team, nothing.
Right. The team only can use that as credit as we treated you good during the draft.
Right.
We need your help on this situation.
Yeah.
That's all it can be used for is a little bit of currency there. So what is the point of telling people that you're signing with a team when you can't sign with a team?
Well,
there's a moratorium. If DeAndre Jordan has shut his face, if Cuban has shut his face, this never would have happened. If DeAndre had announced
you're
at 12:01,
what's
the point is what I'm saying. Why announce it?
Because these teams have a limited amount of cap space.
Yes.
So in order to decide who to sign, you need to get your biggest duck in a row first. So they let Tyson Chandler go.
Right. And signed Wesley Matthews.
Because DeAndre committed to them and signed Wesley Matthews. So now they can't exactly tank because they have Matthews under a nice contract and they had Parsons under a nice contract.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to finish like 10th in the West.
Yep.
And they're going to be the 95 Celtics. They're going to be in the middle of nowhere for years now as a result of this.
I do believe that that's the right way to look at it, yes.
No, so what I'm saying is the team isn't getting anything other than they've got the verbal commitment so they can move forward on other things.
Well, you're using the verbal commitment to sign Wesley Matthews is basically what you're getting at. But you're not allowed.
Because everybody's been involved in the same secret handshake forever.
Right, that's just it. It's a secret handshake. It's an unwritten rule. And as far as I'm concerned, unwritten rules are called unwritten rules because they're not really rules.
Right, but because it's a stupid rule that you can go after free agents before the salary cap is announced. It's the NBA's fault.
It is the NBA's fault. That's exactly where I wanted to go with that.
But it's still the Clippers' asinine breaking of every cardinal sin in the league that should be chided.
Oh, it should be chided by everybody that's not a Clipper fan. I totally understand that. But, you know, it should be chided by everybody that's not in the league because those are the only people that have that stupid non-written agreement. It's a verbal agreement.
I guess.
So the NBA can be pissed off. But, if you're not a fan of Dallas, why do you care?
I don't really
what
care
happens?
Personally. I don't care at all. But right.
You just don't want it to have it happen from your team.
It looks really stupid.
It looks, it does.
I mean, think a major sports league would have this figured out, but apparently not.
So is J.J. Redick that powerful? Is he the one that's really running the Clippers?
I guess.
That Duke education really gets you.
Pierce is apparently one of the ones that put it over.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's that guy.
He is that guy.
Everybody loves the guy.
Yeah.
Unless you're in a game against him at the moment. I'm sure when the game's over, he's just...
Or in a club in Boston at 2 in the morning.
Jesus, don't... Yeah. I think it was outside the club.
It was outside the club.
How did he stay in Boston after that? He's such a good guy.
It's amazing that didn't... First of all, it didn't kill him. He gets stabbed 17 times.
I know. People do forget that.
Yeah.
And that's another reason why nobody comes to Boston.
I think I've mentioned it in the podcast. The guy that stabbed him... The guy by the name of, I believe it's William Ragsdale.
Oh, no. Ragsdale Chevrolet?
I worked with him like a year prior at a warehouse while I was in community college, yeah.
Oh, so his dad isn't Ragsdale of Ragsdale Chevrolet? Kim Ragsdale used to do the TV commercials?
I don't remember that
back in Massachusetts. I don't know if they made it all the way out there, but Worcester area we had.
Do not remember that one.
So the Clippers, Paul Pierce and DeAndre Jordan.
What does this all matter? The Spurs are winning the title.
Okay,
it matters
let's go there.
Not.
Are they really winning the title?
Yeah.
Okay, Ginobili and Duncan aren't going to be too old.
Are they going to matter?
I think Ginobili's going to matter, and Duncan. I think they both have to matter to win a title.
Guy.
They have to matter if you're going to win a title. They do.
Okay.
Patty Mills is going to be that good?
Yeah.
I like him off the bench, too.
The Spurs are winning the title. I mean... We say this every year when the NBA season starts. Like, it's over before it starts. The same three teams are going to win the title.
Yeah, and they always do.
And they always do.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, the Lakers are...
embarrassing.
So, yes, they
vamp
blow...
Vamp for a second. I need to turn my mic
so
off.
The Lakers...
Vamping.
Oh, yeah, I can vamp on this one. So, the Lakers blow... The LaMarcus Aldridge interview, obviously, because Kobe was there. We all get that. Why do we know it was blown because Kobe was there? Because Kobe wasn't there on the second interview. But the Lakers had all this money. This is the promise, the great promise to the Laker fans, the Laker fandom, the Laker, you know, just...
Yeah.
Just
there we go.
Everybody that's just so wearing purple and gold year-round out here. All right, the car flags don't come out till the playoffs, but purple and gold, you'll still see it
I
at
saw
Starbucks.
A lot of USA flags this weekend, not for the 4th of July, but
can't
I think for the women's
there.
Soccer team.
Can't wait to get there. So they have all this money. They can't get LaMarcus Aldridge. So they're like, oh, dude, we're going to get LaMarcus. All right, no LaMarcus Aldridge. Shoot. Don't Kevin Love just signed with the Cavs? He's a UCLA. He's our guy. He's from California.
Why does he sign with the Cavs?
It's the best chance to win. It's hands down. He's not going to go to Golden State. They don't have enough money. He could have went to San Antonio. Maybe they didn't offer him any money. You sign with the Cavs because you can win there. Two.
I guess.
You're guaranteed conference final for the next 4 years.
Agree. Okay. I'll buy that.
So, no Kevin Love. So then, what's another one of the great LA hopes that's out there? Russell Westbrook. What did they do with the number 2 pick in the draft?
They took a guy
in
his
spot.
They
took a freaking point guard. Yep. What are they thinking?
I don't know.
They can't get it right. So, Russell Westbrook ain't coming.
No. Definitely not.
This team is this team for the next 5 years.
Yep.
Unless...
It's great. I'm so stoked. They're not in title contention for 3 or 4 years.
At least. It's not even, because Golden State's so freaking young. It's not even close.
Yeah.
And Cleveland's young.
San Antonio is better than Golden State next year, though.
Sure. Yeah. They got a couple of, they got a 2-year window. I mean, Kawhi's young and LaMarcus is young. That's their next 3 years. And then once LaMarcus is 33, 34, they'll bring in another 28-year-old guy.
Yeah.
Because they're San Antonio.
By the way, you're talking about a team with a top 6 point guard in the league on a 2. Who's a finals MVP?
I know he's a
finals.
If he
stays healthy.
If he's healthy, yes, he is a top 6 point guard in the league. If he's not, he's not a good enough shooter. And if he's not healthy, he's not getting to the rim the way he used to.
I'm with you on the Laker thing. The weirdest one of all, the absolute weirdest one, is that Rondo refused to trade to Sacramento that would have got the Celtics Cousins at some point last year.
Get out.
So he goes.
So now
and
he's
going to
go and sign 1 year, $10 million?
Yeah.
1 year, $10 million, when they would have re-signed him for the max last season.
Yeah, for sure.
At the end of the season. Yes. Wow. Rondo, that's...
No, not at the end of last season, because he was hurt most of the year last
year. Oh, that's true. That's true. But his agent's got to be pissed off.
Got to be just apoplectic, yeah.
Apoplectic at best. So you are you all in on the Cavs? I mean, they're not doing enough for you?
I don't even want to talk about this. No, I really don't. Okay. I want to talk about the Pierre Paul thing because I think it's the juiciest topic of the week.
Well,
no,
for 2 days, it was no topic because nobody had a clue what happened.
I agree.
So, and for 2 days, all you heard on the radio are these stupid NFL insiders. Everybody but Jay Glazer and Adam Schefter claimed to have something to say about this. Everybody except those two guys I heard from. Finally, who's one of them that breaks the story? Schefter.
Let's get the idiocy out of the way first, and we'll get to McElroy when we get there about injuries that are just weird and don't need to happen. Fireworks injuries?
Yeah.
He's the second NFL player this year that's lost appendages to fireworks.
Yes.
What the hell are you doing?
You know, here's the deal.
Not my whole point with this, but
growing up, everybody knows somebody, is in the neighborhood with somebody, or has a family member that you may not have seen but have heard about that has lost an eye or a finger or a hand to fireworks, and you know this by age 8.
Yep.
If you get to college and you don't know this, I could see this happening to a young NFL player that's about to break the bank on a contract.
You're Paul, like 27, 28?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's not 35. He's not world-weary.
Okay. This is where I'm going with this, just because I'm very curious to know. So you know what happened and who got the medical report?
I know Schefter got the medical report. I don't know many more details
beyond
that.
ESPN, my favorite, claims
I know you love them.
That they are not in any way doing anything illegal by reporting the medical report and by showing the medical report.
Because they're a news outlet.
Because they are a news organization.
Right. Oh, yeah. They're an organization. Excuse me.
They are a news organization.
Really? Is that what they do?
Bullshit.
They're not. They're an entertainment organization.
They are an entertainment organization. It's not remotely close. And you know how I know? Because Keith Olbermann was doing a bunch of op-eds about the NFL that they didn't like, and they let him go as a result.
Yeah.
Every news organization has an op-ed guy. If the New York Times let go of their op-ed guy because the NFL didn't like it, they wouldn't be in business.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
ESPN can't be a news organization. Mm-mm. They can't be. Mm-mm. They have to be held responsible for tweeting someone's medical report.
That's a tough one.
It's not
man.
A tough one
no,
at
know.
All. The I person know. That leaked it, first of all, is actually legally in danger because they could be jailed for that, if I'm not mistaken.
The person that gave it to Schefter.
Yeah.
He had to have gotten it from somebody.
He had to have gotten it from somebody.
Right.
Now, I don't know whether he got it through three different people or whatever, and it passed through a bunch of hands. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And that will probably come out, I imagine, because this is going to have to be investigated.
Really?
Yeah, because they have to prosecute the person that leaked it.
Investigating
Schefter.
Yep,
so we'll find out who eventually gave it to him, I think.
Interesting.
But the question is, because they're a news organization, he could theoretically be jailed if he won't tell them who it was.
Okay, sure.
Like a reporter.
Held in contempt, yeah.
But that's never going to happen, right?
No. No.
No way.
No.
So I'm like really freaked out about the fact that ESPN is going to get away with this because I think it's a complete bunch of bullshit that they're allowed to do this.
Okay.
And yet not uphold the other standards of being a news organization like a New York Times or Wall Street Journal, whatever.
All right, you gotta vet everything. I totally understand that. Let me go. So let's go there. Let's go there.
Is Fox News an organization? A news organization?
Yeah.
They're infotainment.
I know they're infotainment.
Just like
I know.
ESPN is infotainment.
I know.
They're not.
At
news.
Least Fox doesn't do. ESPN does entertainment programming 90% of the day.
But they clearly do entertainment or news programming, even on SportsCenter, that has a slant.
It does now. Yeah.
I mean, it kind of always has, depending on who they had an agreement with. Sure. But like specifically with all the NFL crap recently, it is completely an infotainment channel for sports. That's what it is.
You can't think that entertainment news totally gets you. You can't think an entity like ESPN. Schefter isn't receiving this from one person, from three people, through five people, and then tweeting it himself. There's somebody between that and ESPN before Schefter.
Meaning you think ESPN's legal team vetted whether they could do it or not?
Yes, they had to. There's no either that Schefter's a loose cannon and just trying
I don't believe that.
And I don't believe that. So that it has to be on ESPN to look into something like this before it happens. And I'm not saying they're right in doing it. Even if they looked into it and said, "Yeah, legally we're fine, let's go with it," I'm just saying it had to have gone through that kind of checking, balances and check. It has to be there. Has to be.
That company, yeah. The show that follows Keith Olbermann on ESPN2, draws one quarter of the ratings that his did. And his show wasn't doing awesome.
Right.
It was doing a 2.
Yes.
A 2 ain't bad in cable
for
TV.
ESPN2? It's exceptional.
That is really not bad. Yeah. So to say that he's just not with them anymore or whatever, and right. that it's complete and utter crap.
So you didn't see it today or yesterday.
What?
He opened the show defending it.
Really?
Yep. Staunchly.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, he did.
All right, I got to watch. I mean, what did he say? Just fill me in.
He went through the legal rhetoric of...
He believes that because the NFL is in ESPN's pocket, or ESPN is in the NFL's pocket, that justifies them not wanting him on the air?
Of course did he didn't. Really? Of course
no,
he didn't
but did
that.
He make that sort of assertion?
Yeah. No. He basically said, we're a news organization. But we have no fault in this. This is nothing to do with us. We're not employing him. We're not trying to employ him.
I like Keith, but that sounds like I want to be hired by someone else at some point type of thing.
It was
because
bad.
This is going to be the third company that's fired him in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
He got fired from MSNBC. He got fired from
Fox
the Al Gore
News?
Show.
Oh, the
Al
Gore
Network.
Yeah.
And lost his job.
And
now well, no. Because, you know, I was talking to Lee about it. Where can he go? He can't go to Fox. They have an NFL contract.
Yeah.
It's like HBO and that's it.
Yeah. No, you're right. And Rome's on Showtime. So
Rome's on Showtime.
So that's the natural spot. You know, throw them the same week that they're doing inside the... What's the NFL show there?
Inside the NFL.
Inside the NFL. Yes, throw them on the same week as that. Got good ratings. Got your sports block. It's natural.
You can't put it on Showtime when they have an NFL contract, though. Which, by the way, Showtime is owned by CBS.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who has an NFL contract.
Who has the NFL contract for the
AFC. HBO's Time Warner, who does not own NBC or ABC.
Oh, right on.
So they are the one home that he could possibly go to, and that's it.
Interesting. Now you got me tuned into Keith every day for the next week.
I'm really bummed out because that show has been like, I know I don't watch it every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of been a revelation to have something like that on TV.
Dude, the second it went from an hour to a half hour, it became a show. The hour was just killing time for half the show.
But you know what it is I like Outside the Lines.
Okay.
But Outside the Lines doesn't really comment on their stories. They like report the stories like as written. But then you have Keith that's going to do a 10-minute commentary on the crazy story that they reported.
Yes.
It's a really nice supplement to have.
Yes,
and
it is.
And now ESPN has nothing like that.
Oh, and by the way, they've had everybody try to fill in on days off that Keith has in the show. Nobody can do it. Not a single person at that network can pull this show off.
It's the Cowherd show that was following him.
It was Cowherd. Well, no. Cowherd was actually on before on the main channel. They bumped Cowherd to ESPN2 to put Le'Batard's show on ESPN.
Right.
So Cowherd ain't drawing
flies.
Which
is much more fluff than even Cowherd. I mean, Cowherd isn't great, but he's not fluff either. I mean, he'll have opinions and stuff.
Yes, no, he will have opinions, absolutely. And Le'Batard's there just basically to
he's
show
fluff.
Clips from the internet.
Yeah,
yes.
He's total fluff.
Yes, which I need at that time of the day.
Which is, unfortunately, what Around the Horn has always been and PTI has rapidly become.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I told you this.
When was the last time you saw real outrage on PTI from either guy?
I told you this. I swear to God, the frickin'...
You did tell me this.
The brass at ESPN, every now and then they hand out, they hand down the memo. The ratings are slipping, guys. You got to start saying really stupid stuff for the next week so that people will pay attention and talk about your show again. Rather than go on and actually deal with an issue and talk from your heart, from your brain, that we know those two guys can do better than anybody else on ESPN. That's why the show's been on for 15 effing years.
Yep.
It is the sports reporters of the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, I agree.
We loved that show. Watched it every goddamn weekend.
You know what I dislike about the show, though, and always have? Some topics demand more than 3-4 minutes of discussion.
Yes, they do.
I mean, like, yeah, you can try to wrap it up in 3-4 minutes. We could do this podcast in 10 minutes if we wanted to. What's the fun in that?
What's the fun?
You can't say everything in your mind in 5 minutes.
It's so true. I know.
All the listeners are like, oh, 10 minutes. That sounds about right.
The listeners saying 10 minutes. You guys couldn't do 10 minutes in the intro.
I know. It's very true. We're 20 in. Like, we haven't talked about anything yet.
I swear we've been on the air for 4 minutes. Yeah, I swear. I sorry, listener. 20 minutes on that?
Yeah, 20 minutes.
All right, so anything else on this Pierre Paul?
Did you have somewhere else to go with it besides the ESPN stupidity of it?
Because I didn't. No, that's exactly what I wanted to.
Oh, that okay.
And the idiocy of reporting when you have nothing to say. And people actually putting you on to talk about absolutely nothing that you have to say.
What do you mean having nothing to say? Because I don't
think information.
Yeah, they have no information except that there is a story brewing, but we don't know what it is.
Right. So what's the point of having somebody else on to talk about it on your show when you can do it?
Well, because ratings would dictate if someone thinks there's a story that's going to break, I'm going to tune in ESPN and wait for it to break.
Yeah, but you don't need to wait for them to have an outside reporter be interviewed on your show for 10 minutes when you have all the information the outside reporter has.
Okay.
That's my only gripe.
Yeah, no, I get it.
If I'm listening to a show, a radio show, or I'm watching a TV show, and they say, we're going to have somebody come on to talk about the Pierre Paul thing, what am I expecting?
Some information.
Yeah. Something I don't know.
I agree.
None of it. For 2 days, not a single thing, and they let these people talk for 10 minutes without... And none of them can say, I'm sorry, since you have nothing to say, I really don't see this going anywhere, we're moving on, because they're getting paid from the NFL. They're getting paid from these entities. They have to have it happen. It's pointless radio. Thankfully, today, we got something to talk about, because Schefter came alive and tweeted the medical report.
It is pretty funny that in the NFL game... there's three guys that get every single lead.
Yeah. Yes.
Pretty amazing.
What
was the last Ed Werder break that you heard?
None.
It's all Glazer, Schefter, and Mortensen. They're the only three.
Werder's good game day.
Sure.
He does nothing Monday through Saturday. He's
good game day. When was the last time he broke anything?
Good
I don't
on
remember
game day.
Any of these things.
He's good on game day. They're great on game day. They give you the updates.
Yeah.
You might not be able to find the updates online or in a newspaper. They're going to give them to you.
But if you want to leak something and make sure it gets to everybody, you call one of those three guys.
That's it. That's all you do. And so is that the NFL having such a good lid on things?
Maybe. Apparently the Brady decision's coming out next week.
Really?
Yeah, he said it yesterday to some reporter.
Really?
Yep.
So, here again, with this stupid leaking the draft picks, what's the point of the decision coming out next week? Why isn't it out now if they know it's coming out next week? The decision's been made!
Well, that's a good point. I agree with you completely. There's got to be some... Well, okay. You want a reason? You want, like, a conspiracy?
Yes.
Okay, well, what's going to get all the publicity on Tuesday?
The Open's coming up.
The Major League Baseball All-Star Game.
Oh, the All-Star Game. That's right. The slowest sports day in the year.
If you were to lay odds on what day it's going to come out, it's going to be Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday of next week.
Yeah.
Probably Tuesday, because then they can blow away the All-Star Game and get the coverage the next day.
Yes. Yes. They can outshine the All-Star Game.
Yep.
The only thing baseball has to hang its hat on during the summer.
Which, by the way,
the
ESPN was going to cover all day because there was nothing else.
Yes.
And now the NFL is going to take it.
Yes, they are going to steal it.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
Lovely. Lovely. See, you're not getting that on other shows, folks. Nobody's going to throw out that kind of take off the cuff like he just did. Send us your emails. 1, 2, 3, 4 games. What's it going to be? I don't really care, but send them anyway. FUpodcast@gmail.com. It's no more than one game. .com.
Excellent.
Standing by my no reduction.
That's impossible.
I'm standing by it.
Dude, you don't take 3 weeks to say we're not reducing anything.
I agree. But you know what the other annoying thing about this whole thing is? You know the moment Brady walked out, they knew what the decision was.
Yes.
2 weeks ago.
Yes. Yes. Oh, so Brady knew?
Let's wait 3 weeks and just talk it out 6 times.
Yeah,
it's like directors I hate working with. Like, should we do this? Should we do this? Eh, let's sit on it. And then 3 weeks later, the decision.
Same thing.
We knew exactly what was going to happen.
It's always the first or second decision.
Always the first or second decision.
Yep.
Always.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, what else
it's
is
It's not
there
like
this
there's
week?
Billions of dollars at stake in
I'll
this.
I'll tell you what. I know how to break up before we get to golf. I
had a
funny
great.
Podcast story that I have to relay that Sue mentioned to me.
Please.
I'm sitting at a mix studio in Hollywood 2 days ago, and I'm on the phone. I'm looking at my computer. I'm like really interested in this conference call that I'm on, whatever. I get tapped on the shoulder, and I hear, what's that on TV? I look up. It's Warren Beatty.
On TV?
No.
What's he
tapping me on the shoulder?
Get the hell out of here. Wait a second.
No, right. So like I'm like, Patrick, I gotta go. And Warren Beatty's asking me a question. I put the phone down. He's like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was like, Warren Beatty doesn't talk to me every day. He's like, well, he doesn't really talk to me every day either. So he was great. Yeah,
oh,
it was hilarious.
Wow, that's pretty good.
And someone asked me what movie it was, and it was Devil's Advocate that was on TV. And my assumption is that he saw Al Pacino and was like, huh, I wonder what Al's doing. And he had to find out what the movie was.
That is, so he didn't know?
No, he didn't know.
That's too fun. Yeah. Yeah, when you're Warren Beatty, you can walk around not knowing when Devil's Advocate's on TV.
I don't get, or even what Devil's Advocate is. I mean, no one under the age of 40 is going to be like, oh, that's, I don't know what that is. Now, everybody knows that movie.
Yes.
Everybody's seen that movie.
Yes. Charlize, of course
we've seen it. Oh, right.
Yes. That's one of the first reveals of Charlize.
Because this,
I even sat through Astronaut's Wife
at some point.
Yes, that's right.
That freaked me out. I remember.
Yes, he's
in the
tempting
movie.
Her with the she devil.
Yeah,
and they turn her into, you know, old scraggly lady. And this, you could have this or that.
Yeah,
go with she.
Long
devil.
Story short, I wound up talking to
who's
for like
she devil
30
in
seconds.
That too. Now, see, now you're killing me. The she devil's a hottie too.
Yeah,
it is. It's
I
not.
Don't
it's not. What's her name?
Who?
From. Oh,
is it Gina Gershon?
It's not Diane. No, it's not. It's not Diane Lane, is it? No, it's not. It's not Lena Headey. Heady. Maybe it is.
Heady. It is Heady.
It is Heady, isn't it?
Yeah. I saw her at Comic-Con one year. She told me it was Heady.
Oh, look at you. You got a Warren Beatty and a Lena Headey drop.
But so my question to you, and I don't get starstruck ever.
Warren Beatty will do it.
No, and I wasn't starstruck.
You turned around and you weren't like, oh,
no,
come
I was
on,
like,
dude.
Oh, this is cool. But I wasn't like, oh, my God, what do I say? Like, I meet celebrities every now and again, but I was trying to think. I think only Nicholson would make me go, holy shit.
Right.
But I've never met him, so I don't know. But well, I couldn't think of anybody else that would make me
he made
like,
my girl
the
go
googly
holy
eye,
shit.
Like, oh my God.
No,
what?
Okay, Jennifer Lawrence walks down the street and I'm melting into the curb right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I worked with her like 6 years ago. So
she's still the kid to you?
Yeah. Well, not she's the kid, but like I've met her, so I wouldn't like. You know, be like, oh my God. If I hadn't met her, I probably would be that way.
Jack, definitely.
Jack is the one. I couldn't think of anybody else. Sue's like Kevin Costner.
Yeah, of course, Kevin Costner, Sue. Absolutely. We'll throw that out there for her. But no, it would have to be somebody like some kind of personal.
I've never met Pacino.
Kinda...
Would he do it? Would he be like, holy crap, that's Al Pacino?
I'd probably be like, holy crap, he's shorter than me.
Yeah.
But no.
Warren looked good for like, I don't know what he's got to be 72, 73.
Oh, that old.
Yeah, I think so.
Both of them, huh? Him and
Warren. They had the big actor head. Like the.
Really? Yes. Yeah. They all have that.
They all have it, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a good call. Who does make me do that? You know, I guess
Redford would do it. I've never met him either.
I don't give a care about Redford. I'm on a.
Dustin Hoffman?
No, don't care about Hoffman. De Niro would do it. Because you'd approach Hoffman or Pacino.
Yeah.
You're not approaching De Niro.
No, I'd never go up to De Niro and be like, Bobby, how you doing? No, I would never do that.
Saw you at Tribeca 2 years ago. Yeah. How's it been?
I've been in the same room with him, but I never met him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is there gravitas there? Is there presence?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there
sure,
is.
Yeah.
But no, I'm on a exceptional YouTube fan site, YouTube Start, where you go download.
Bono would do that. Bono and Mick Jagger would absolutely do that. I'd be like,
it wasn't even
Mick
Bono.
Jagger.
This dude that has reviewed every single U2 show, a U2 bootleg on the site, over 1,000 of them, and he's the best reviewer on the site. His name's Pato.
Okay.
He freaking quoted one of my posts. I was in heaven. I went, holy shit, I got quoted by the king of all goddamn reviewers. I had to, and everybody was like, yes, that's the greatest. That's like touching the hand of God. I was like, okay, I've made my peace now. I can die happy. But it's little things. It has to be personal for me, you know?
Yeah. No, I understand. I'm trying to think who I have a connection with in the sports world that might, like...
Pedro!
If I had met Ted Williams at some point while he was
alive... Oh, Pedro wouldn't do
that
to you?
No, I don't think so.
You wouldn't be like,
he's always seemed
kind of
cool, though.
Like he has. He
never,
has.
Like, cooler than everybody else. Like, cooler than the guy in the room. But
I had MLB Network on the other day, and they were just showing a commercial from... It had to have happened recently. They had... Smoltz, Pedro, and Randy Johnson in the studio at the same time talking about their pitches. So Pedro's in the, and they're just talking, Randy's talking about throwing his slider, and I'm just sitting there slack-jawed, like, I'm learning Randy Johnson's slider right now.
Yeah.
And then I look over, Pedro's next to him. Randy's 6'9", Pedro's 5'9", like and I'm like, those are the two most dominant pitchers of 10 years while they were in the game.
For sure.
And look at the difference of the two.
Yep.
And it just makes me revere Pedro so much more when I see it.
How much of the Marlins-Red Sox games did you watch, by the way? Any of them?
Oh,
have you seen this reliever for the Marlins that balks on every pitch?
No. Oh, the one that comes off the mound?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen him. I didn't see him in the Sox series.
Is
I've
that
seen him.
Not
how
illegal?
Is that legal? I have no idea how it's legal.
He jumps 3 feet forward before he releases the ball.
You must toe the rubber on the release. Isn't it a rule?
This guy's been in the league for a while. Like, I don't understand how this isn't completely illegal.
First of all, do you see mounds in Little League? They suck. You see mounds in high school? They suck.
Yep.
I have no idea how this guy developed that. And first of all, developed and can do it consistently to make the major leagues with that delivery.
Here's the problem that I came up with after watching him was that I think it was Remy Orsillo was like, the ball comes out of his hands and it gets to the plate as if it were a 107-mile-an-hour fastball.
As if he's 7'10" throwing it from the rubber.
Okay. That can't happen.
Yes. Yes.
If you can't throw 107 from the rubber, you shouldn't be in the major leagues. And you know what I mean?
It's the same thing when they say the Little League pitch was clocked at 65 and major leagues would be a 95-mile-an-hour fastball.
Right.
Because they're throwing from 45 feet. I can't believe it took us this long to bring it up and nobody else talks about it, by the way.
I read one blog about it on a Red Sox site that I was reading.
Nice.
But yeah, like I saw 3 videos of it, and I just don't understand how this guy is allowed to do that.
No, absolutely.
It's killing me. I can't remember his name either. Because
I know. It's the Marlins.
It's a reliever for the Marlins. Right. I'm not going to go, you know.
No.
Leeds.
I got him working in shifts.
I got us working in shifts.
Leeds. That is an all-time quote.
All right, so two golf questions.
Okay, all right, good. Was it a slide tackle or did he trip over a ball? Because if there's contact involved, what are you doing slide tackling that guy in pickup soccer? 2, if you trip over a ball, fine, okay, it happens all the time.
More important question.
By the way, I played soccer for 15 years, never tripped over a ball in practice and got hurt.
I've watched, I don't know, 500 soccer games in the last 6-7 years.
Believe that.
I really have. It's
anyway, I know you have.
I've yet to see one soccer player injured playing soccer.
This is true.
At the highest level of soccer with the best tackling.
Their bodies are conditioned to do it.
People come and spikes up. I've never seen a guy really injured that wasn't like on the sidelines for 5 minutes and then running back out.
Gets back in the game. Listen, it is difficult.
How does McElroy get injured at a pickup soccer game? And call it soccer. And he's from the UK. That was the most offensive part. He wasn't like, yeah, I got hurt playing football.
He's not American.
I got hurt playing soccer.
Well, yeah, it's true. I mean, I do. You don't think Twitter is American?
I think of Twitter as American.
All right, so he's on Twitter. That's where he talked about.
But there's
he's
all sorts of. There's
soccer.
Spanish Twitter. There's black Twitter. There's all sorts of Twitters.
I got to get on black Twitter.
You got to be on black Twitter. Black Twitter is the place to be.
Oh, no way.
There's a lot of stuff on black Twitter. It's the same site. I'm just saying, like, there's like.
Well, no,
I
pictured it as being like 13 when I actually knew what was hip because that's what happens at that age. You're hanging out in the inner cities and you find out what's hip, and then all of a sudden, a year later, it gets to your high school and you're like, yeah, I knew that a year ago, guys.
Right,
where have you been? So I got to get on that.
You
I haven't been in that realm in a long time.
Black Twitter's fantastic, yeah.
I'm in.
I don't know how McElroy got injured. I'm bummed. He was going to win that tournament by 5 shots.
Oh, I was just
going to
say by 5. Easy. But who's going to win now? Is it a bigger question?
All right. I heard this topic on the State of the Game podcast that I listened to, and it's great. And I'm curious what your opinion is. So Spieth is playing this week at the John Deere.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's playing there because they gave him a sponsor's exemption when he didn't have any status. It was the first tournament he won. He's trying to pay the sponsor back. I appreciate all that.
Absolutely.
I'm sure he's a very nice guy. It's a noble thing
so
to do.
So you're telling me you would like to have him break an unwritten rule?
How many chances do you get to win the Grand Slam? Because I'm going to tell you what. This is the only one he's going to get. I'm sure he's going to be around for 20 years and win
and
8 to 10 majors.
A bunch of
whatever.
Masters and a bunch of U.S., but how many times
but
are you going to do it
in the same
year?
Do you do it in the same year? Never. You don't.
Yeah. You don't.
You have to go early in practice. You just have to do it.
So he should break an unwritten rule?
It's not an unwritten rule.
No, you said he's paying back the sponsors.
He's not paying them back. I mean, he didn't make a commitment. He's just being nice.
I'm sure there was a handshake at the beginning. At the beginning of the year or after he won the Masters. And they said, hey, Jordan, you're going to come play this year? You know, we helped you out. Wink, wink. He's like, you know what, guys? I am. I'm going to come play this year. Now you can't go back on it. Meaning, I'm sure he committed to the tournament.
Because the next year that you don't win both tournaments in a row, which, by the way, is going to be next year, you
listen,
can go.
The commitment of the tournament, especially when Rory ain't playing in it, especially when Tiger ain't playing in it, they need you there. If you commit to that tournament and back out, you're screwing the sponsors. The same exact thing DeAndre did to the Mavericks.
It's an interesting take. I kind of disagree.
I know you do.
But it's because DeAndre can't just go play for the Mavericks next year as a make good.
Right, right.
Like,
okay.
Jordan Spieth could very well go play the Deer next year and for the next five as a make good.
DeAndre's from Texas. He can host a 3-on-3 tournament every summer in Dallas for the next 10 years.
Cuban will be stoked. But I think you got to go. Like, this is a different set of circumstances.
It is. No, it is.
Like, if Steven Soderbergh called me tomorrow and was like, I need you to give up the five movies that you're doing and work for me, even though these other people have been working with you for a long time, I'd be like, hey, listen, guys, I'm not going to get the call from Soderbergh very often.
No,
I got to go.
And that's just it.
Speed's got to be like, hey, John Deere, I don't win both tournaments in a row very often. You got to go try to win the third one.
I'll make it up to you. I'll sit on a tractor on
whatever.
Twitter.
I'll come there. I'll play a friggin' free pro-am for you in October where you can bring all your clients out, and I'll play next year.
Yep. Well, and that's the difference of what I was saying about DeAndre. DeAndre, nothing changed once he said he's signing with the Mavericks. Nothing changed. He just said, I'm signing with the Mavericks. Now I'm not. Spieth, something has changed. He's won the, even if he committed, depending on when he committed, he's won the two majors.
Yeah. Well, you don't actually have to commit until the Friday before.
Oh, no, but I'm sure he did.
There's handshakes and everything before that, for sure.
Because they have to advertise it. They have to know you're
coming.
That's
why. It's for advertising.
Yes. Yeah. And it's tough to go back on something like that. But like you were saying, situations changed. I do believe these
especially
are extenuating circumstances. Do you ever get extenuating without circumstances following it?
Never.
Great nice.
One. All right, so we've got extenuating, we've got ensuing, and there was one other
was
one you came up
one.
With
I
last week.
I nailed it, too.
Crap.
You're going to kill me
we
on this.
We should just keep a list in the wall.
Yes,
I love these.
Should.
This is a great part of the podcast.
All right, so Rory's an idiot. Oh, did you see them?
I'm going to have to go back and listen to that podcast, because now it's going
to
kill
me. It's at the end
me.
Of the show.
Okay.
So listen to the last 15
minutes.
It's going
to kill me what the other word that you only hear in that one circumstance is.
They asked Caroline Wozniacki about Rory's injury when she lost at Wimbledon. Maybe after a win, okay?
They broke up like 8 months ago.
I know. That person should never be allowed in a press tent the rest of their lives.
No way. By the way, Serena won today. If she doesn't win the Grand Slam, something very wrong has
happened. I wanted to go there, actually. Everybody says, ooh, how many would Phil have if Tiger wasn't in? How many would Sharapova have if Serena was not there for the last 10 years?
That's different, though, because I agree with that. I mean, Sharapova would have 12.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's
a
bigger conversation.
She has a 12-match losing streak to Sharapova right now.
And all of them in semis and finals. All of them.
Yeah, all of them.
And so, yes, if Serena was hurt for a three-year stretch.
But you can't say that about Phil. You know how many tournaments Phil would have won if Tiger wasn't there? Five.
I totally get that. And that's what I'm saying. It's
maybe
more
six.
Relevant. Yeah, maybe six. The one.
The one O2 Masters.
Was it,
I guess he finished second at the Bethpage.
There you go. Okay. But that's what I'm saying. The Phil situation is a non-topic. It's the Sharapova conversation that should be the topic.
Great one.
There.
Totally agree.
And nobody's talking about
no,
that.
No, nobody.
Either. God forbid. I mean, Serena's brilliance, dominance is unquestionable, and it warrants being
I don't even think there's
mentioned.
Anything to talk about. It just warrants being mentioned. Once again on the podcast, like, this is one of the greatest athletes of all time playing currently.
Here was one of the other intros to the show. You want to break or you want to plow right into this? Let's break real quick.
Okay.
I need 2 minutes.
Is it women's soccer related?
Oh, we're going to start with women's soccer coming back.
Okay.
We are. We have to. I'm checking everything off right now. Love, Clips, Lakers, Knicks, Rory, Wesley Matthews...
How do you sign Wesley Matthews after that injury, by the way? Give him a pretty good deal.
They gave him
he's going to be the same guy.
He wasn't the only Portland, I don't know. I didn't hear Portland offer him anything, but I heard Sacto offered him a contract.
Yeah.
So it's not like there wasn't competition out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like he's not a piece if he does come back healthy.
No, if he
and
comes
he's
back
young
healthy,
enough,
he's absolutely a piece.
And he's young enough to come back from that injury.
Yeah. Although, can he be the third best player in a title-winning team?
Not unless LeBron's the first.
He's the fourth best player in a title-winning team.
Not unless LeBron's the fourth.
Yeah.
The first. He cannot be the third.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
So to say a piece means he's a rotation starter on a contender.
Yes.
That's all a piece is when we're talking about him.
Yep. No, okay. But a piece is very important.
It is, for sure. I'm just clarifying.
Send us your email. I want to do one more email because the other email was crap.
Sure.
Send us your emails. Somebody be Adam Schefter out there and tell me exactly how Rory busted his ankle. Did he fall downstairs? Was he drunk? Was he playing soccer drunk? Because I have tore ankle doing that. FUpodcast@gmail.com.
Excellent.
Love it.
Coming back, segment two.
You're listening to the show that Larry King calls the best podcast I've ever listened to. The FU Sports Talk Podcast.
We are back on the Brick Killed a Guy segment of the FU Sports Talk Podcast. I'm Mike Flynn.
Mike, you're in.
Because that escalated quickly.
Yeah.
What are you doing on Sunday? Or last Sunday? What were you doing on Sunday?
I think I went out and I watched the women's soccer game.
So you were in front of the TV when it started?
I was.
Good. So you didn't miss anything.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't miss anything.
Okay, I was absolutely jacked for that game.
I was pretty excited for it.
I watched the pregame on, it might have been ESPN now that I think about it. They ran back-to-back hour-long specials, one on Wambach, one on Rapinoe.
Okay.
It was as good as any, they weren't 30 for 30s, but if they were, they would be in the upper echelon of 30 for 30s. Absolutely superior work done, highlighting their career, their lives, their road, their journey to get to that one game.
Okay.
And I was through the roof at the end of those two specials.
I got it.
They all played. Neither of them had anything to do with the outcome.
Anything to do with it.
And I'm sorry if there's one person, if we had done a podcast last week and I had come on the show and said, you know, there's one person out on that team that I would say had my game. It's Carly Lloyd. Absolutely. Midfielder that can score, can do just about everything out there.
Okay.
She's exceptional.
She's very good.
No, Alex Morgan is basically the Torres of the American team because she can't score when it counts, but everybody knows she's the best forward on the team, maybe in the world right now.
That's what I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
I think, okay. In the world of over-marketed sports stars...
Yeah. Did I get Torres right?
Yeah,
he's the guy I was
thinking? Fernando Torres, yeah.
There you go.
Always had trouble scoring big games.
Well, once he got to your team.
No. He was much better for Liverpool. He was terrible with Chelsea.
Chelsea, yeah.
She didn't do anything in the whole tournament. I know she was hurt to start.
Early, yep.
But I saw a tweet from Darren Revelle.
Go ahead. I'll bring it down.
I think she had 8 endorsements from companies before this tournament started.
Okay.
And yeah, I'm sure she's good in whatever fakakta women's soccer league that exists.
Keep trying.
Right now.
Keep
professional
trying.
Soccer
Go
league.
Keep trying. Go ahead.
What?
She's the best forward I've seen play for this team since Mia Hamm.
If she didn't look the way she looked,
she wouldn't have
how many
she would have
endorsements
half
would
the,
she have?
She would have half the endorsements.
Not
because
even.
She's still the leading scorer on the team. And that's what's going to get endorsements from. Meaning, if you go win a gold medal, your endorsements are going to Abby Wambach, Alex Morgan, and that's it.
No, but the funny thing is, like, I was saying this last week about when I root for teams and when I don't. And I was rooting for the Americans because they're the Americans.
Yes.
But I don't always root for the Americans when they're Americans. I thought there were enough likable women on that team to root for them. So
yes.
I was rooting for them. And I didn't have any affiliation with the other team the way I do. Like, the European Ryder Cup team, they're all the nicest guys I've ever met. So
yes.
That's why. But anyway.
Poulter?
I was more happy. Yeah, no, not Poulter.
Oh, well, I was going to say, is he going to win the British? He's due.
No.
He's not. It's not his game?
No.
Okay.
I was very happy that they won. I was very happy that they won convincingly.
Really?
I was also very happy that she didn't score, and I
You're killing me.
Was almost rooting against Hope Solo in the game.
That I'll go with. Now, the whole Alex
if
Morgan
she
thing.
If she's involved in a quadruple homicide in 5 years,
you would not be surprised.
Zero surprise.
Zero. Absolutely zero. Here's the take on Alex Morgan.
I also had a funny...
Goals don't get scored often in soccer. They just don't.
I agree.
You
yeah.
watch her play, you know she has more talent than any other forward. And the reason... And it's she's not scoring because she's not clutch. She's not scoring because she's choking. She's not scoring because the opportunities aren't there for her to score.
Well, in general, it's tough to score goals.
That's what I'm saying. You need the opportunity, but nobody creates an opportunity anywhere around the net to score better than she does. What? Nobody finishes other than Wambach with her head, or we saw Carly Lloyd do it, obviously, with her feet, around the net better than she does. Nobody's better in the box than she
is. Take the last 4 years of his career out of the equation.
Yes.
But if Derek Jeter had as many ads and hit 290 and was just a very good player,
yes,
people would hate him. And I mean hate.
Yes.
He came through whenever it mattered. So that's why it was all fine. Everything that ever happened to him was just fine.
Yes.
I didn't like him, but that's...
And nobody mentions, by the way, if you go look at any baseball card or picture of Derek Jeter in his last 5 years... Go look at the baseball card or pictures of the first 5 years.
Much bigger,
He's a little bigger?
I get it.
His head is Barry Bonds-like.
I've said it.
Compared to what he came up as.
I agree.
Nobody mentions it.
No one's ever mentioned it.
Why? Because he wasn't on the cover of Sports Illustrated all swole and shit like Nomai was.
I know. I saw that Sports Illustrated the other day.
Did you really?
Oh my God.
What's the title on that? The next big thing. And he's freaking jacked for crying.
Totally
a shortstop
jacked.
Who's jacked.
Yeah.
A shortstop coming off a 350 and a 375 batting average, and he's jacked out of his mind.
I don't work out, at least not in any way very much.
To look like that.
But you really have to be stupid to not know what you can look like without taking supplements, and what the absolute best you can look like without taking supplements
and
what's beyond that. And there are things like Tiger Woods that are beyond that.
Ooh.
There are.
Ooh.
Oh,
Ooh.
Well, no. Like, okay, so Leah was like, yeah, I'm going to Magic Mike on Sunday. That's what Leah said. I'm not going, but Leah's going with a bunch of friends. Which, by the way.
She saw the first
one. Talk about the greatest marketing campaign ever. Like, that movie is going to have every single woman in America pay to buy a ticket to that movie.
It is. It's not making as much as I thought it would.
Is that right?
It isn't.
But I also think it's going to last.
It will.
No pun intended.
Ah.
But like that, the cover of that movie poster.
Staying power is what you're talking
about? I don't think any of those actors are on steroids.
Alcide ain't on steroids?
I don't think so.
He's just a big... He was a football player in high school.
I think he's the biggest you can be without taking steroids.
Naturally. So you're saying that nobody in movies like Sly never took steroids?
No, Sly obviously did. Look at Gerard Butler in 300, right?
Yeah.
That's about the best you can look without taking steroids.
And half of Gerard Butler was CGI, too.
Is it?
I thought they enhanced all their bodies.
They might have painted.
Jared Leto's like a rail. The dude's huge in 300.
Maybe. I'll have to go. I'm not going to go look at it. But anyway, where do we get off track? I was very happy the woman won. I thought Carly Lloyd was phenomenal. I thought everything she said afterwards was phenomenal. Happy they won. Still think there's some element of it being the Yankees.
You do.
Even though it's American. It was nice to see. I always like when the country can rally around a team.
Sure.
It doesn't happen very often in this country at all. It happens in every other country all the time.
Okay.
So when it happens here, it's really great.
I
jumped on board.
Okay, good.
But I don't have to like every player on the team.
No.
I really just don't have to.
I like Alex Morgan. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I like everything. I love her game. She's clearly talented and just snake bitten. Torres choked on all those empty netters.
What's
the
difference between snake bitten and choked?
You have an empty net and miss the net, and you saw Torres do that week in and week out in Chelsea in the box by himself with the goalie, and he misses. You saw him do it all day. Alex Morgan, when she's in the box, there's three people around her, and she's still getting shots off. It doesn't mean it's a great shot, and it doesn't mean it's a good chance of it going in. She's getting the shot off.
Megan Rapinoe in the not the final, but in the other games was spectacular in every game.
Yes. She is as good a player as I've ever seen. There's
no doubt about that.
These girls played so hard. They got better every game. The coach obviously had a plan of how to bring the team along, how to get the best out of the team against the opponent
they were
playing.
The other problem, though, I mean, there's no Red Sox to these Yankees. It's not like Brazil
So they didn't lose to Japan in the last World Cup, and they didn't beat Japan in the world in the Olympic Games.
Well, first of all, it wasn't nearly the same Japanese team. Apparently, it's like five of the same women.
Yes,
but I don't know. It'd be nice if there was one other world power. Like for a while, it was China.
Yes,
and they beat China in the '99 final, and that's why it was huge because they beat China because China was really good.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not really good right now.
No. So you're saying the last few World Cups where they weren't winning, I definitely believe.
No, that's what made me like them more is that they hadn't won
in 15 years.
That's actually probably 100% of the reason I bought in.
Very good. But you enjoyed it. You had a good time.
I did. Right? I had a great time.
So this is the other opening of the show.
I thought, by the way, the coverage mm-hmm. was excellent. Everything about the coverage was great. The post game with Rob Stone was flawless. Yeah. It was great.
Yes. Oh, I watched those two specials, and then I put it on the game for an hour and a half before the game even started, and I said, I'm just sitting right here.
I don't know. I know you don't watch a ton of soccer, but Rob Stone does all the studio stuff for the Champions League, too.
Mm.
He's second to Ernie.
Really?
Yeah.
And by the way,
this is a long way to go from first to second.
Okay.
But he's second to Ernie.
All right.
I don't think it's close either. I'm trying to
think. It's that Serena Sharapova gap is what you're talking about?
Who does the MLB on Fox? I don't even know who does the studio on MLB.
Brian Rose? No, he does MLB Network now. Chris Rose does MLB Network.
Right. Yeah, he does.
Chris Myers? No, he's the sideline guy on Fox.
I remember it used to be Jeannie Zalasco, but it's not anymore.
She's good.
She's fine. But, I mean, Rob Stone is so much better than everybody else besides Ernie.
Oh, she's not Ernie. That's just it.
That's what I'm saying. Nobody's Ernie. But Rob Stone is clearly second.
The other opening of the show was going to go something like this.
Oh, no? Wasn't that?
We are here. This is the... We're getting the Colin Farrell we all knew was there, but Hollywood could never find edition of the FU Sports Talk podcast.
100% with you.
Thank you! Is he knocking it out of the park on this show or what?
Why don't people like this show?
Wait, they don't?
People don't like this show.
Because, listen, Vince Vaughn in the first two episodes is terrible.
He's not terrible.
Vince Vaughn in the last two episodes is... That's a terrible scene by Vince Vaughn. Then you get two Vince Vaughn scenes where you're like, he didn't suck there. Then, of course, it just means you're that much closer to getting another terrible Vince Vaughn scene.
He didn't suck there from pretty much most of his performance in the show. Not he was good, but he didn't suck there.
He didn't suck.
He was not hurting the show. He was not helping it in any way. He's a zero war player. He's not subtracting nor adding anything to the show.
All right, I'll allow that.
Colin Farrell is like a 9 war right now.
He is becoming Woody. What would the acclaim that Woody got? I mean, McConaughey got all the acclaim, but deservedly
so. All the acclaim, yeah.
But no. Halfway through the show last year, even you came on this show and said, "I'm all in on Woody."
Yeah,
Woody
I agree.
Is Woody was holding the show down right now.
Yep.
And that's what Colin Farrell is doing. He's holding the show down.
Now you're interested in Colin Farrell.
I am
much more interested in what the Rachel McAdams storyline is going to play out as.
As long as they don't go back to that stupid father-daughter thing.
Oh, the father-daughter thing I hated.
They got to get rid of that.
But
it was fine for a one-off. And I like David Morse, too. He's fine in every... He's good in everything.
Is it Brian Morse or
in.
David Morse?
I thought it was David.
I don't know which one. They're twins. I don't know which one it is.
He's good in every... You're right. He's good in everything.
Is he the Green Mile one or not the Green Mile one? I know. That's what I always think of the Morse guy from.
That's a good one. Yes, I am. They do need to, although they're starting to scratch the surface on Riggins' character now.
Is he gay?
Is he gay?
Is he not gay? Did he sleep with his mother?
Oh, that's another. Did she make him sleep with her and that's why he went gay?
Yeah, the little Oedipus complex thing.
It's definitely happening. And I'm curious to see what they do with it as long as it's not.
Sure. And he's fine on the show.
I like him on the show.
I agree.
You
know what, though? This show could absolutely take a horrific bad turn and I won't like it, or it could take a tremendously great turn and I will love it.
I think they're at that apex right now.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
If by episode 5 and 6, they're not on the, oh my God, I love this.
Yes.
It'd be tough for it to just be middling the whole way. I don't see it playing out that way.
And, you know, it really does come down to the backstories that are about to unfold.
Yeah.
Because that's what they did with Woody. Woody was just his partner for three episodes.
But when you find out what Woody's backstory, I totally agree.
And that's what's going to hold the show together. And I told you after watching that first episode, Rachel McAdams is freaking blowing it away on this show. It's not anything that you've ever seen her do, and she's nailing every second of it.
I agree.
And damn, she looks good.
Damn. Yes.
Love that dual color hair thing.
It's good.
And the jeans and everything is working for me.
I'm up on Ballers, too, by the way.
All right.
I don't think it's great.
It's not going anywhere, is it?
No, but that's the problem. Where can you go?
Ditch all the players and have The Rock and Cordry be in every scene.
Okay, yeah, I agree with you there. But, like, I read a great, you know, Dan Wetzel from Yahoo is about the best sports writer alive right now. And he wrote a great article about hate Ballers if you want. I like it, but hate it if you want. But do not say that it's unrealistic. Everything that's happened in the NFL over the last 2 years means that everything is realistic. There's nothing unrealistic on Ballers that couldn't possibly happen in real life.
That's why a year and a half ago, I started scripting an idea for an entourage show about the NFL players in their offseason called The Offseason, right, strangely enough. And the reason why I thought of it is there's way too much news in the NFL offseason about these players doing idiotic things that they shouldn't have a show about.
But if 3 weeks ago in the pilot, one of The Rock's clients blew his finger off with a firework, you would have been like, man, that's super unrealistic.
You would have been like, oh, they're taking it to another level. It's for TV.
He
had
his finger amputated. Can he get a new contract? I don't know.
Oh,
is he ever going to play again?
Of course it happens.
You would have hated that.
I know. That was what I was struggling with. Struggling with, do you go over the top because that's what the NFL fans want, or do you keep it centered like they're trying to do?
You know, the funny thing is, would you like it more if it wasn't trying to be half comedy?
Oh,
it would be much better to me if it was like Cordry can be the one comedic relief in the show, but there's a little attempt at too much comedy. It'd be better. I would like it more if it was an hour and more of a drama.
I did think it was going to be an hour dramedy. Meaning, yes, Cordry's there for the comedic relief, and I thought it was going... When it was only a half hour, the first episode, I was like, this episode cooked.
But like in the first episode, The Rock loans the player $300K that he doesn't have any money left in the bank. Yeah. Don't reference it for two more episodes, or at least it's not a plot point. They may have mentioned it, but...
So the dude's buddy that is...
The one that everybody hates. Who, by the way, every player seems to have in real life.
It's so true. It is so true. And yes, it does bring the show down a little bit. You're right. It's too much TMZ. I'm
going to keep watching.
I'm not giving up on it.
Because The Rock is so good. I mean, he's just so watchable.
He's got
an innate watchable quality.
Now, you met The Rock.
No, for my wife, I brought Leah
for Leah there
to the sound session.
Right.
I brought her, but she
Mrs. Coach
like,
got to meet
it's
The Rock.
The Rock, yeah, she was. Definitely
I would love
one.
To have seen
nice.
A face on that.
Nice,
yeah, yeah. Well, he knows his place.
Kind of business dude.
Of course. Do you think anything other than that from the guy?
No, but no problems.
I believe it 100%.
Yeah. All right. So,
do you see Inside Out?
I did.
It's making every bit of. Piece of money that a person has in their pocket.
Did you see it?
I haven't seen it yet.
What's your favorite Pixar movie?
Oh, favorite?
Okay, what's your favorite and what's the best? I'm always
the best
to have
is probably Wally.
Wally is, no, it's not even
my
close.
Favorite.
Wally,
is probably
Wally
Toy
is
Story.
The best.
It's the original. I watched it on LSD.
I think my, that's probably altered your opinion
yes,
of it a little
it
bit.
Did.
I think Ratatouille is my favorite.
Okay.
Toy Story 2 is probably a close second.
Okay.
And then I think Monsters, Inc. falls right in after that. Because people forgot about Monsters, Inc. It's a really good movie.
You know what? Monsters, Inc. is as enjoyable as any Pixar movie
really
I've
is.
Ever seen.
It's really, really
You're
good.
You're 100%. You know what? The best movie is probably Toy Story 3 and WALL-E 1A and 1B. Toy Story 3 is an exceptional movie.
Don't put anything in the WALL-E level.
I know.
It's really...
It's so in its own category.
WALL-E is art and everything else is motion picture.
You know,
you're
right.
But no, in terms of best movie... It's probably Toy Story 3. You're probably right.
Yeah.
I still like 2 more, though.
I know you do.
2 is great. 2 is so funny.
I know.
It's really, really funny.
It's fine.
You get the Darth Vader character with Buzz Lightyear. It's great. But
it's fine.
Inside Out, to me, falls on the Bugs Life monsters.
Oh, no.
It's good. Because those movies are good.
Okay.
It's Brave.
I didn't think Brave was... All right, Brave is fine. Okay, it's about a chick.
Brave isn't Cars or Cars 2, which are easily
Cars
the worst
is
two.
Fine.
Stop it.
Cars is okay.
Those are such bad movies.
They're bad movies. They're pandering.
They're really,
they're pandering
really bad
at that
movies.
Point. That's what they're
is
doing.
Planes Pixar? It's not,
I never
right?
watched Planes. Oh, wait, I think it is.
I don't think so. I think Disney just did
it.
And it's kind of in the
it
same
type like
of universe.
It wasn't like the first thing that they merged for.
It's Aladdin 2, The Return of Jafar.
That was direct-to-DVD.
Yeah, but Planes could
and
have
Aladdin
been as well.
2 is exceptional.
Oh, come on.
All right, Aladdin's the greatest animated movie of all time.
Oh, man.
It is.
Do you see that over there in the corner? Dumbo crying. He's crying with an ear over his eye. Dumbo.
Oh, dude.
I don't know.
Dumbo
I can't believe
thing.
We're talking Disney movies and animated movies at the show, but Dumbo is.
You know what it was? The
Dumbo
on
the
tripping
WALL-E level.
Scene drives just, I could never watch it as a kid.
Dumbo is on the WALL-E level.
It is.
Dumbo is a different movie than it the is. Rest of those movies.
Shoot. We're
and the most
shit,
entertaining?
Nailed it.
It's Robin Hood.
Oh, the fox and the bear.
Robin Hood is
because it's our generation.
Yeah, Robin
Hood. Yes, it is. Robin Hood is my favorite. You're right. Best and favorite. Robin Hood is my favorite.
Robin Hood and Sword in the Stone are like my two favorites.
Oh, Sword in the Stone's really good.
Sword in the Stone's really good.
Really good. Yeah, that's the one with Merlin and everything.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's a good one.
Very good. I was talking to Leah.
Secret of Nim.
Secret of Nim is not Disney, but it's excellent.
It's as good as animated movies that aren't Disney.
I agree.
Oh,
I haven't seen.
Man.
I'm sorry, Aaliyah. One of my favorites when I was a kid was The Rescuers.
I haven't seen
that in a long, long, long time.
I haven't either. That's a good call. Rescuers is really good.
We're gonna have kids one of these days. I'm gonna have to watch them all 100
times. And
that's what you're waiting on. So I'm just not gonna go do a thing.
Yes. Yes, I'm with you on that. Terminator.
Okay, you saw it.
I did. Wait, what did I see?
Okay.
Can you explain it to me?
Here are my first three takes on the movie.
Number one,
because I think it has to be said, it's not a good movie.
No.
Number two. Emilia Clarke, you cannot take your eye off at any point, whether she has blonde
after
hair
the first
or not.
Scene.
Okay, after
when
the first
she
scene.
When she shows up, holds the gun out and says, get in the effing car, that's the worst line in the movie.
But after that, I'll go with you there. After that, I think you can't take your eye
absolutely,
off.
Absolutely, 100%.
Third?
Not enough Matt Smith, Doctor Who. Not enough of him. Not enough.
Are you ever not happy to see J.K. Simmons?
Never not happy to see J.K. Simmons.
Always welcome.
And that was the worst role he's ever played.
Yeah, probably.
Because that character sucked.
But he walks in and you're like, hey,
it's J.K.
Simmons. I like
him. I do like him. And that character was terrible.
By the way, coming off a movie where you're supposed to hate him in Whiplash.
Yes, but he won the...
He won the Oscar.
Deservedly so.
Yeah.
But yes, no, he has nothing to do in the movie. It's very unfortunate. Yeah. He should have been a second or third character in the movie.
I agree.
Him
it
in
should have
movie.
Been a bigger part of the story.
Yep.
But the time travel stuff was just a little... Oh, the other point I wanted to make. The 84 Arnold looked great.
Mm-hmm.
The VFX were really, really good.
They nailed it.
Really nailed it.
It's better than Lena Headey walking down shame with her displaced head.
Yeah, I agree.
The Arnold is better. It's as good as I've seen.
Arnold's really, really good in 84.
Yes, I'm with you.
But yeah, I just couldn't get with it.
Okay, outside of all the time travel garbage and how everything ties in with everything and who sent who and what's going to become of everything.
The guy that plays John Connor, I don't remember
Jason
his
Clark.
Name. I like him.
I like
him.
He's good
like
in
him.
Everything.
I don't like him in the movie.
You know why? You haven't seen you didn't see the sequel to Planet of the Apes.
I did.
Dawn of the Planet of the
He's
Apes?
He's good. I'm saying I like Jason
He's
Clark.
He's excellent in it.
I just don't like him in the movie. I don't like him in Terminator.
Yeah.
Well, there wasn't much in the character. Really.
Oh, there's nothing in the character.
Yeah.
No, there's nothing.
There should have been some sort of internal conflict that he's... Even if he can't live or whatever, not to spoil it, whatever.
No, you can't
Who
turn
cares?
Him into that and just have him go with it. Be
no.
like, yeah, they bought me. They own me now and I'm all for them and everything's cool.
And then it makes everything more convoluted in your head's timeline-wise. So if he dies, do they still have to have him and does it pollute the timeline? All that crap.
Outside of
everything.
I don't
want to have to think about that. I don't want to walk out of the theater going, what does this mean?
So
if this happens in this timeline, what is it?
Yes.
It needs to be easier for me.
Yes, 100%.
I'm not saying everything needs to be easier in life, but that particular thing in a movie, you can't walk out questioning what should be happening.
Like Back to the Future 2? How they
I
explained everything
Back
so
to
well.
The Future 2.
I know, but it's the same explanation. We skewed off into a new timeline.
Tangent,
tangent. tangent. And I liked the movie. I liked it.
What?
I know.
Leah liked it too.
I will not recommend it to anybody.
No, you can't.
But
Leah
liked it too. Because the time.
Did I have a bad time watching
it? Displacement stuff is garbage.
I did not have a bad time watching it.
There you go.
But you walk out and you're like, okay, there's Terminator 2 on that level up there, and then there's all this other crap. Terminator 2 is so great.
It's a damn near perfect movie.
It is. It's like True Lies. Like Cameron went on that run of Abyss and then. What did he make?
He might have done T2 after Abyss. Or did DD do...
It's right around the same
Aliens.
Era.
Yeah,
he
Aliens.
Goes on the run. He goes on Aliens,
Abyss,
T2, and True Lies
and True
in
Lies.
A row.
Yeah, and then Titanic. Oh, that movie.
Yeah, oh, that one that won all of the awards
and
that neither one of us ever wants to watch again.
Any movie before it?
Yeah.
So you don't want to watch it again?
I don't want to watch it again.
I've only seen it once all the way through in the theater.
I've only seen it once as well.
And I'm sure it cost me a relationship. I'm sure it did.
I'm sure you're not the only one.
I'm sure that I put off seeing that movie for 2 months and then leaving the movie was still angry. But I did
what
think
were you
it was
angry?
A,
okay, no,
no,
we should explore this
no,
a little
no,
bit. What
I,
were you angry
I,
about?
I did think it was a beautiful movie. I just left the theater saying, really? You had to see this? We had to be in there for 3 hours to see this? Really? Really? Really?
I never had a problem with the length of it. It's just, I never felt like it was a movie for me. And you know what it must have been? I saw it like a month and a half after it came out when every woman in America had swooned over it.
Yes.
Maybe if I saw it opening night and I didn't have any preconceptions about it, I would have liked it more.
Right. You're right. That was the problem.
I guess.
The stress and the and the animosity just built over time, and it couldn't recover.
No. But you saw Ted too.
Oh, yeah. All right. So,
okay, so you hate Mark Wahlberg. You still hate Mark Wahlberg, I'm sure.
Wow, he's worse in this movie.
He is worse in this movie. I like him, but I'm willing to go with you that he's worse in this movie.
He is. I couldn't tell. I almost was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt because I'm like, okay, listen. The directing has
to
be better than this.
What color was his hair?
The directing, somebody had to have gotten a hold of makeup and freaking and costume and said, this isn't working. And two, how in God's name does nobody say, Wahlberg, you realize Ted is 2 feet tall. You're looking at somebody that's your size the entire movie. He's looking off into space every time he speaks to Ted.
That's
funny. The most off-putting thing in the entire movie, and it's way worse than the first one because of it. That said, there's 3 or 4 big laughs that will make, and there's enough giggles throughout that if it's a comedy and you're renting it,
you know what? Spoiler alert, and go see it. Turn off the podcast now because it's probably the last thing we talk about, but what are the 4 big laughs? I'm dying to know what you picked up.
Oh, I don't know.
Because for me, it's the when they say, how are we going to celebrate? Let's go to the improv show and throw out bad names for the friggin'.
Oh, all right. But that didn't go anywhere. Okay. Oh, this is great. This is great.
It was like a cutaway in Family Guy.
So it doesn't go anywhere. And I'm like, oh, it's, but they harped on the same subject, which is perfect for those characters.
Robin Williams.
It's perfect for those characters.
Starbucks. I heard someone say Starbucks. Who's in the Starbucks? Bill Cosby.
So I'm dissecting the scene as I watch it, right? And I'm like, all right, Seth, you wrote this. Everything you're doing is a stock line. It's a stock scene. It's a stock setup.
Well,
and every line
they shot
is a stock
it like Anchorman,
line.
Where they just ADR'd the end of it and they put in whatever the most current line was.
But he wrote it for the meaning. If that scene needed to be funny to elevate to what I wanted it to be, those characters couldn't have been in it. Ted and Wahlberg's character couldn't have been in it. But with those in it, by the end of the scene, I said, that's as funny as those two characters are going to make that scene, and they did a good job of it.
I thought it was really funny.
I liked it.
Did you like the
Warburton
stuff at the Comic-Con at the end?
Loved. When he shows up as Ant-Man? Loved
it. By the way, and Michael Dorn, who is Worf from Star Trek, in a fake Worf from Star Trek costume at the convention.
Okay, I did pick up on that.
Died.
I was aware.
Died.
And I know you're the big Trekkie over there.
That show, yeah.
Post-Star. Yes, that's
and Deep Space Nine are my two
shows.
Yeah, yeah.
But I did pick up on that.
But Warburton was so funny.
And Warburton was excellent. I did like that.
Did you like the Gollum stuff for Amanda Seyfried?
Oh,
can you believe she went with it?
That's my favorite part of the
movie. How much more do you like her that she went with that?
I like her less that she's banging Seth MacFarlane. That brings it back around to about an 8.
But that's like saying you like any woman that slept with John Mayer. Like, so you dislike all women? That's what you're saying?
Kinda. Oh, no, Mayer.
He slept with everyone.
Mayer's young and was a rock star. Seth MacFarlane is a nerd from Rhode Island.
I guess. A little bit of jealousy.
Seth MacFarlane is a song and dance man who writes comedy from Rhode Island. A
little bit of jealousy.
Connecticut.
Rhode Island.
I thought he's from Rhode Island, yeah.
Well, he went to RISD.
RISD? Who are you, Owen Wilson? Oh, yeah, RISD. What's isn't that what he's Rhode Island School of Design? I saw freaking Wedding Crashes.
Oh,
the
did
sun
you say
went
that?
Out. See, yeah. I didn't know Rhode Island School of Design was RISD. So when I saw it in the theater, and he goes, "Oh yeah, my son went to he's going to Rhode Island School of Design," and Owen Wilson, in his perfect Owen Wilson delivery, looks over and goes, "Oh yeah, RISD." I thought that's an Owen Wilson line, like coming up with RISD off the top of his head, like, "Oh yeah, I'm going to abbreviate everything, so I'm so cool and hip, and call it RISD." That's what it's called.
Yep.
I didn't know that. It takes that movie down a notch too. Now,
what did you think of the Jurassic Park movie hit when they realized they're in a field of marijuana?
Oh wait, whoa.
The Jurassic Park music hits when they all look out, and it's like the line when Sam Neill steps up in Jurassic Park into the frame.
Yeah, when his head's in the frame.
They do move in herds.
All right,
that was one of the funniest parts of that movie.
That is a good one. Yeah, that's about it.
Morgan Freeman, you didn't laugh at?
Oh, I laughed every second he's on screen. Every second he was on screen, I laughed.
The story's stupid.
Every time the story changes, I'm like, okay, so here comes Morgan Freeman. No, not Morgan. Okay, here comes Morgan. No, not Morgan Freeman. Finally, he comes in as the lawyer, and I thought he needed more to do.
Actually, you know what the best line on the whole thing was? At the very end, when Wahlberg fakes his death, as like Ted did in the first one, and they call out to the doctor in the hallway. He's like, "Hey, doc, thanks for letting me do this." He's like, "Yeah, oh, that's okay. Oh, we're a fun hospital."
Yeah, we're a fun hospital. That's a good line.
That I almost died at. That was so funny.
We're a fun hospital. That's a good. And there was another line right before too. Yes, that was a good line. Yeah, that's just it. There are. Listen, the guy writes Family Guy.
In the movie.
The guy writes Family Guy. It's not gonna make
you laugh. I don't think you're ever gonna walk out of that movie going, "Man, I wish I hadn't paid $14 for that piece of crap."
You won't. It's not that movie. West was. Million dollars, guys.
I was going to say Dumb and Dumber 2, which you saw and I didn't.
So it's on demand right now. And every time I put on demand, I say, "Will I give it another shot? Will I give it another shot?"
I refuse. I'm not allowing it. You can't watch it again. And I haven't seen it.
You don't need to.
No. Well, okay. Anchorman, I didn't love the first time I saw it. Yeah, I really didn't love it.
You're the only one.
I guess maybe I was. But, like, the next three watches were just so worth it. But, like, I knew that I had missed a lot. Because there were a lot of laughs over funny lines.
Certainly. Certainly.
But from what you're telling me, it's not like Dumb and Dumber was. There were a bunch of laughs and you didn't pick up all the laughs that you missed. No, there just weren't laughs.
There's no laughs.
You're not going to laugh the second time at a joke you didn't laugh at the first time.
I think it's the exact opposite.
What?
I think they went for the easy laugh every second they got.
Really?
Yeah. Rather than have some subversive stuff in there. And some stuff, like you said, third time watching, some off, not on the center of the screen jokes that are all throughout Dumb and Dumber, all throughout all the Farrelly Brothers early movies. There was no representation of Dumb and Dumber, Kingpin. I'll even throw in something about Mary.
Kingpin's so great.
Kingpin's amazing, by the way. And I even laughed at me, myself, and Irene. So... did you see the new Seinfeld Comedians in Cars with Carrie yet?
Yes, I did.
I have not. How is it?
Very watchable.
I wanted more than watchable.
I'll tell you. No. Well, I'll tell you this. Like, Carrie, more than... we could do an entire hour on Jim Carrey.
Yes, we could.
Easily.
Easily.
But he's more in his own head than any comedian has ever been. And
more
that's
than
saying
Jerry?
Something. He's, yeah. He really is.
That's
like,
good.
He has bought into this weird... Jim Carrey thing, like he doesn't want to be Jim Carrey, but yet he's still Jim Carrey.
No,
but he's funny. He's actually really funny in Comedians in Cars, but not in the first 5 minutes, he's zany Jim Carrey that
That's
you haven't seen
okay,
in a while.
This is just it. This is what I wanted to get to. He's only hilarious. He's always funny. He's only hilarious when he's trying to own you, when he's trying to
That's,
own the room.
He's that way in the first 5 minutes.
He's
but
trying to
then
own Jerry.
He gets a little introspective.
He's trying to impress Jerry.
And they, right, he's absolutely trying to impress Jerry.
All right.
Then they get to talking about, like, comedy for the next 5-10 minutes, which is great.
It is.
And then he gets into this, what are you doing now? I'm painting. He takes Jerry to his paint studio. And
oh,
you're
no.
like, eh.
Oh, no. It turns into that book movie that he did, Number 9.
Yeah.
Whatever it was called.
Yeah.
What
it's funny. It actually, you basically are taken through Jim Carrey's entire career in 20
wow,
minutes.
Wow, the peak and then the lull of dramatic. Effect. Oh,
although
no.
You know, Truman Show is in that dramatic run,
but it's a good movie.
That's a great movie.
It is. It's a really good movie. Way better than that freaking Cable Guy garbage.
Yeah.
What? Oh, so who did I just watch on Comedians that I really liked? Who?
Steve Harvey?
Bill Maher.
Oh, Bill Maher was really good.
He was really.
I thought
good.
Steve Harvey was.
Oh no, Steve Harvey was hilarious. No, because Steve Harvey was very humble. Bill Maher is not going to give you
no,
humble.
Not at all. When they say they're the comedy team of smug and arrogant.
Smug and arrogant. Oh, they got to do, go to Funny or Die and do a special with Smug and Arrogant.
It would
do
be
something.
Really good.
Yes, it would.
I'm glad you're up on the season. I thought Julia Louis-Dreyfus was only okay.
I liked her so much.
I like her a lot too, but I don't think they didn't really talk about comedy.
They weren't trying to impress the audience. Like you said, it's
they're
two,
just
friends
two friends
hanging
having coffee.
Out,
yeah.
And it was awesome to be
yeah,
there
I like
for
that. I was glad to be a fly on the wall
oh,
for it.
Are we ever going to get the extended editions of any of these? Why is nobody cutting the, instead of
I
you
would
get
watch
the 15
the
minute,
Howard
you
one.
Get the full, oh man.
I rewatched it last week because Howard is my favorite guest ever on that show. Howard is so, and I've never once listened to an entire Howard Stern show ever, but he is so great. On
all right,
show.
You have homework.
I know.
No. I'm going to give you one thing. It's on YouTube. You look it up. YouTube listeners, I'm going away for a week. I'll be back. We'll do a show next week. You must go find Howard Stern and Gilbert Gottfried leave a message on Jerry Seinfeld's answer.
I've heard that. Like, I've heard a lot of the bits. Like, when I hear there's a great bit, I watch it. Like, the entire Seinfeld interview on Howard that was 2 hours.
Two hours.
amazing.
2 hours.
But like, you want that from the Jerry perspective on the Jerry show, and yes. I have no idea why that's not available
it
somewhere.
It has to be. They have to release it. He has to say, he's got the releases already. He has to say, listen, we cut it because we want to entertain you for the most that we possibly can for as long as we can.
Yeah.
If you're interested, not if you want to be entertained, if you are interested in what else happened, this is what happened.
Yeah.
Don't give us the whole thing. Edit something new.
The best things on that show are always guys that you know Jerry actually likes. Jerry really likes Howard. Like, in general, yes. He really likes Chris Rock. Like, he really likes Louis C.K.
Yes.
The people that he doesn't have a prior relationship with, like, I thought Harvey was great, despite the fact that I don't think they really spent much time together ever.
Couldn't have, because their careers were in different areas at different times.
And then they went to different sort of circuits, like,
yes.
in Jerry's late career. Anyway. Yeah.
Well, no, Jerry wasn't doing stand-up by the time Steve Harvey got big.
Well, I was going to say, like, Steve got big doing Kings of Comedy when Jerry was on Seinfeld.
That's what
already.
I'm saying. Yeah. Yes, exactly. They never really had to be in the same room
at the
same time.
But, like, Bill and he had a great show because they came up both at the Comedy Store in the 80s.
Yes. Yes. Oh, it was
excellent.
I loved it, but I'm saving the Carrie one for either the plane or for when I'm up at 4 in the morning in Boston.
So, when you go to Boston,
you're
going to see Minions.
Yes.
I imagine you're going to see Minions, and I'm very much looking forward to Minions.
But I probably won't see it in 3D.
I don't care. I never go.
But I am seeing Minions Saturday night.
Very good.
I already have it penciled in. Did you get to see the...
I demand you see Trainwreck, by the way.
The Jazz Trio? When you went home?
No, I never went.
I didn't want to bring it up, but I had to ask. All right, what else were you asking?
You're going to have to see Trainwreck, and I'm going to be really pissed off if you don't see
Trainwreck.
She is the funniest comic in the world right now, and it's not
comic.
Close. Yeah.
Melissa McCarthy's the funniest comedian.
Okay, I'll buy it.
All right. A comic, fine. I'll give it to Amy Schumer.
I mean, no, but she's Amy Schumer on is on the Louis C.K. level right now. Louis C.K. Bill Burr level right now. She is incredible.
All right.
That show isn't Chappelle's show. Because nothing could really be Chappelle's show.
No.
But it's the closest you're ever going to get.
Get out of here.
It is.
What?
It is the closest. Look, it's like I'm saying about Rob Stone and Ernie. Like, yes. One is number one up here, yes. And one is number two down here, but it's still number two.
All right.
That all Amy right. Schumer show right now is number two to Chappelle in the sketch comedy shows of all time list.
All right. I'll try it.
At least non-SNL. But, you know... I don't remember the last episode of SNL that I watched that I was like, every sketch was funny.
No.
Every sketch has never been funny in SNL. I have watched it, but then again, it's an hour and a half. Amy Schumer's show is half an hour. And every sketch has been funny.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. You can write 3 5-minute sketches and have one sketch that's kind of okay.
And there have been plenty of episodes of Chappelle's show where everything was funny.
Oh, God. That's
the entire first season.
The entire first two seasons. There's maybe one bad show, and there's maybe 6 bad sketches the entire two seasons.
All right. So what do you want me to do about the open? You want me to do a show by myself?
Oh, no. I was just curious if you want, because I won't be here for the start.
I don't land
until midnight Wednesday.
I kind of like Oosthuizen as my initial look at it.
That's why I threw Poulter out there.
He didn't just win there last time. He blew everybody away last time.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who finished second was Rory, 7 shots behind, and he's not playing. And I heard a great interview with Jeff Ogilvy the other day, who I like to make the cut. You know what's funny? I know who every middling PGA Tour player is right now because I play the DraftKings. Like, I'm all about Kevin Kisner and David Hearn and these guys right now, Justin Thomas, that are making every cut and finishing in the top 20. Anyway,
by the way, the stupid baseball
none of those guys have any chance.
Sucks, by the way.
Baseball, I'm not in on DraftKings.
Dude, you get too many points for home runs. I can't have shortstops I'm out drafting and losing and not making money because they're not on my team.
The only thing you can project on there is the pitchers.
I'm excellent at the pitchers. Yeah. I don't need to take the best 5 starters. No. I can get the guy that's a 4 starter on a team and know he's going to pitch well.
Yeah, I agree. But you can't, it's impossible to project.
It is impossible.
But,
go ahead, sorry about that. So you know all the golfers
from
DraftKings.
Here's what Ogilvy said about Oosthuizen.
Yes.
He was like, he doesn't love playing golf. He really likes playing golf.
Oh.
But he likes going to South Africa and moving dirt around on his farm.
Okay.
But when a big tournament comes up, it's time to play golf. And he figures that out.
That's the kind of guy I like.
He doesn't win the Colonial and the Byron Nelson and the John Deere Classic, but he's going to show up in all the big tournaments.
Yes.
And he killed everybody there last time, and he shot 66, 66, 66 the last 3 days of the U.S. Open. I like him.
At that kind of course. All right.
And he's won at St. Andrews before. He's probably going to be the third favorite, I would think, behind Spieth and second. He'll be second.
Dustin.
I haven't seen Dustin
since.
He hasn't come out of his house
since. He has not.
You haven't heard a thing from him.
Yeah. Maybe call up that chick. What's her name? Betty Ford? See if she knows anything
about
him.
If you do a DraftKings, because you should enter the Millionaire Maker on DraftKings. 20 bucks.
Oh, I wanted to do
bucks.
That, yeah.
You got to do it. But I would, Ogilvy is a heavy recommend at a cheap price to make the cut.
For those out there
loves
listening
the
today, grit was your code on DraftKings. I heard it on the radio today. I know I have to get into it.
What's
I have to get
grit?
Into it. Grit, you go in, put a code, you get into the thing for free.
The Millionaire Maker?
Yeah.
Maybe if you're a first-time subscriber.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably what it is. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm a first-time subscriber because I do a FanDuel with the baseball.
Oh.
So I'm not on DraftKings, but I want to get into DraftKings.
DraftKings is where you got to be on.
I will.
That's where it's at.
I will.
All right. Well, have a good vacation. How long are you going for?
Just 5 days. I land Saturday morning, and I leave Wednesday night.
Sox are out of town while you're there, yeah?
No, they're playing the Yankees, but they might be in town. I'm not seeing a game.
Oh, okay.
I'm not. Saturday or Sunday would be my only days, and I'm seeing you too Tuesday night.
At?
The Fleet Shamit Center Emporium building.
I love that you said Shamit Center. I think that's my favorite thing ever. It was the Shamit Center before it was ever opened.
Yes,
it was never the Shamit Center. You may be there when the Brady news breaks, which makes me very excited that you're going to get local radio when that happens.
What broke? Oh, the Celtics signed Brad Stevens when I was at a Red Sox game,
yeah?
And I was getting the tour, and Bob Ryan was standing in front of a TV, watches the Brad Stevens story break as I do. I'm standing next to, and I did not say, hey, you're Bob Ryan,
right.
Nice to meet you. I did not, because he was working, it's a game, I didn't say anything, but there's nobody around, we're just in this room ready to take the tour, and then Bob Ryan runs out of the room the second and Brad Stevens,
the best basketball writer of all time,
yes,
runs
exactly.
out to write the story.
Runs
yeah.
out to get the story. But I got the story when Bob Ryan got the news.
That's great.
It was pretty cool.
So I'm very interested in your hopeful next like Friday or so take. We'll give you a date if I can relax.
By the way, Bob Ryan looked great, by the way.
Good.
He does not look like he's made up for television
I just
in
read
his
book.
Old age.
I liked it.
Yeah?
It's good. I've listened to he and Al Michaels' books both recently, and they're both great.
Oh, I got to write that down.
Al Michaels' book, you're going to want to listen to.
I've heard him interviewed about it.
He's on Howard every now and again.
Yes, he was on Howard for years,
ever.
Ever. He's
got
one of the
really good stories.
Awesome. Awesome.
And if you're
he's
in
got a, Howard in there, too? Does he do a going
yeah, he
on
talks
Howard
about how, well, he talks about Absolutely. The OJ thing
oh,
with
the
Howard.
Oh, because Howard played his Lest. Call. Well, you know it, too. Lest is the word. That is indicative of a morning talk show that he's talking about, the Baba Booey reference.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you know that.
And
that's
Baba
awesome.
Baba Booey to you
and
all.
You know Baba Booey to y'all.
Of course. I was watching the show. I watched Peter Jennings.
That was a farcical call, he says. He says less
that was a completely farcical call.
And indicative all in that two-minute bit.
Yeah. And you still can't think of the third word that we only use.
No.
What was the second one that you came up with today?
Oh, in extenuating circumstances.
Extenuating.
You will never hear extenuating without circumstances following
Absolutely
it.
Right.
Send us your emails.
Please send emails. I know you usually do the email thing. If there is a word that is only used one way, I really want to keep a list of what they are.
We got a list going and we're going to tweet it out and it's going
to
be
there
big.
There is no other way to use extenuating.
None. None. It's going to be big. FU podcast, one word that only precedes another. NFUpodcast@gmail.com.
Excellent.
Did I get that right? The precedes? Where we're looking for the word that precedes, right? Ensuing kickoff, extenuating circumstances.
Well, I guess you could say the ensuing word to another word.
Oh, there you go.
But I just used ensuing.
You just and it doesn't work, though.
I don't think
that's a grammatical sentence.
It does, but it doesn't.
It's not even recognized in the English language. Like I actually ever got above a C- in any English class I've ever had.
I wasn't great at that.
All right. Is that it?
That's it. I'm definitely done. Tired.
All right. Tired.
I am tired. Been in the car a lot.
Can't win with
listening to a lot of State of the Game, a lot of Lapsed Fan.
What's Lapsed Fan?
Lapsed Fan, I think I've told you about this in the show. It is a show where these two guys, they do five-hour reviews of like 1980s WWF pay-per-views.
You have.
It's so good. It's just so good.
Lapsed Fan. We might have to get those guys on. All right. We are coming back. I will be here to do show Thursday or Friday if you like.
Yes, for sure.
The Open will be in full swing. All-Star Game.
I don't know who I could call and do a preview with anyway. I don't know.
That's
maybe
just it. If you're feeling,
maybe I'll get a wild
if you're
hair.
Feeling plucky,
I don't think so.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm working like a block from here in a couple weeks, next week, so we'll see.
Sneak in. All right. coming back next week. A little bigger, a little better.
From the motherland.
Yes.
It's going to be 90 and humid.
It was supposed
Who
to be.
Who goes to Boston in the middle of July?
To see you too, this guy does.
Okay.
And I just upgraded my seats from in the building, as I call nosebleed seats. I call them in the building.
You're
or
in the building.
At least in the building.
Yeah.
I got the good seats.
Okay.
I had a good week at baseball.
Not on DraftKings, but on gambling. Yeah, I guess.
Yes. And I was not calling Juanito my bookie. No, it's all legit.
Juanito.
Coming back next week, bigger, better, stronger than before. I am Mike Flynn.
Mike, you're in.
If you're at the U2 show, look me up. Loge 2.
Row 10.
Ooh.
Look for another episode of the FU Sports Talk Podcast next week on iTunes.
It's not behind the stage. Is it dead on or is it on the side?
It's on the side.
Okay.
But the whole stage goes the entire length of the floor.
Nice.